welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Hello and welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. With me is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
The topic today is the upcoming Design Automation Conference, and our guest is Harry Foster, the 2021 General Chair. Harry is Chief Scientist of Verification at Siemens Digital Industry Software and is the co-founder and executive editor for the Verification Academy. Welcome to our podcast, Harry.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Okay, this is the first of a series on DAC, so let's get started. First, Harry, let me ask, how did you come to the semiconductor industry?
Okay, well, I was a music composition major, and I decided after my first year of music composition that I wanted to eat when I got older, and I decided, well, I'm going to switch to engineering. There's a correlation between math and music, and I know many people in this industry that were once music composition majors, so that was my journey.
Yeah, we have a lot of closet musicians in this industry. Every once in a while, a band breaks out amongst, you know, the EDA people. I think it's pretty fun. So as I understand it, there are many firsts this year for the Design Automation Conference. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's been a wild year, as you can imagine. But some things that we're really excited about. This is the first year that we'll co-locate with SEMICON West. Now, SEMICON West will be located in Moscone South in San Francisco, and DAC will be located in Moscone West. But the great thing is that SEMICON West attendees will actually be able to visit the exhibits on the DAC floor, and DAC attendees will actually be able to go over and visit portions of SEMICON West. So that's exciting. So that was a first. The other first that we announced over the summer that I'm really excited about, we're also co-locating with the RISC-V Summit. In fact, the RISC-V Summit will have exhibits on the DAC exhibit floor, which is kind of exciting. And so people will be able to go back and forth between RISC-V exhibits and DAC exhibits. So those were some exciting firsts for us this year.
Well, that's going to bring a whole new crowd. That's excellent. RISC-V is a pretty hot topic these days, for sure.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
So DAC has been around for 58 years. My first DAC was in 1984, which was in Albuquerque. Boy, I was right out of college, and I remember, you know, going to DAC, and back then it was a little bit wild, and I'm thinking, wow, this is the real world, huh? Not much different than college. So, I mean, let's talk about how DAC has evolved over the years, and I know Mike has been to even more DACs than I have, and I think, Harry, you said you started in 84?
Yeah, I started in the industry in 84. Although realistically, my first DAC would have been in 1991 was my first DAC. So even though I was in the industry starting in 84, it was 91 was my first DAC. But yeah, there's been quite a bit of change, particularly in the last 10 years in terms of its evolution. If you look at, for example, the research submissions, you know, our root of the conference is really based in electronic design automation, but that's where the evolution has occurred. If you look over the past 10 years, there has been a lot of other focused areas or topic areas that have emerged within DAC. In fact, today, EDA only accounts for 25% of the submitted content. That doesn't mean that it's declined. It's the pie has actually gotten bigger. Some areas that have grown, like 39% of the research content that's submitted comes from design. And here we're talking like, you know, in-memory, near memory computing, AI architectures, quantum computing, which was this year. So that's 39%, 17% from embedded systems. One of the fastest growing areas is security, about 16%. And then the remainder is in autonomous systems. But it's not only that, you know, the research aspect of that has evolved. The other evolution that has occurred is the engineering focus or industry focus content, which I think we added about 10 years ago. And these are, you know, people from industry, design verification engineers that are basically presenting their best practices versus research. So it's kind of exciting.
So Mike, what was your first DAC?
So it was 1977, fresh out of school, went to Caesar's Palace and presented to an audience of about 2,000 people. I was scared to death. That was the most frightening moment of my life.
that's a good venue, though.
Did you win anything gambling? Or?
You know, I'm not a gambler, so Vegas was kind of a boring venue for me. Gambling, I'm not into it.
So. Yeah, I'm with you there because this is funny. Last time I was in Vegas, I took a cab to the hotel, and the cab driver asked me, says, "So, do you gamble?" And I go, "No, I studied statistics." And then he didn't say another word the entire trip.
Yeah, no, I'm good at math. I don't gamble.
Yeah, the sound bite I use is I always gamble my health and my career, but never money.
Yeah, you know, the second DAC I went to was in Las Vegas, and I took my wife. I just got married, and it's kind of like a second honeymoon thing. And I took my wife, and we went to some of the parties, and I remember her looking at me like, just what have you gotten into? You know, because it was so wild back then. But now it's mature, let's just say. But still, my favorite conference of the year for sure.
Yeah, yep. We all remember Bride of Dracula. But all right, so let's move on. So this year is going to be a little different, Harry. DAC is going to be a hybrid event. I think this is the first time for that kind of a situation. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's going to work logistically?
Yeah, so again, this is another first for us. Basically, you know, in 2020, we, like so many events, we did a virtual event due to COVID that year. And DAC's always been live before then. And we had to rush at the very last minute to switch this thing to a virtual event. And we learned a lot in the process. You know, not everything translates well into a virtual event, right? And so we decided to pick kind of like the best practices from what we learned in 2020 and throw everything else away and apply that to DAC. So this year, DAC will be a hybrid conference, you know, a live event. But we also will have a virtual component that will consist of 38 hours of on-demand, you know, content. And here again, we pick the high-value content that we know people would like. There'll be like 4 keynotes, 3 Sky Talks. Sky Talk, by the way, is a short keynote. 3 industry pavilion tech talks. Then we have 2 industry analyst reviews, 32 research invited talks, 4 research best papers, four essentially best papers or best presentations from the for engineering track stuff we talked about, designer, IP, embedded tracks, and then 4 training days. And then the great thing about it is that all this will be on demand, so it'll be convenient to, you know, viewers all over the globe.
That's interesting. I think, you know, the worldwide reach, I think, was one thing that DAC and a lot of other conferences discovered, that you get incredible reach and attendance with a virtual event, a lot more than people, you know, getting on an airplane and coming to the physical conference, even pre-pandemic days. That's true. In terms of these events that will be streamed and for on demand, are you recording the live event at the conference and then streaming that, or are these pre-recorded? I'm just trying to figure out how you're producing the
Okay. So we have, for example, 4 keynotes that will be recorded and then they'll be made available the next day. That's also true of our Sky Talks and our Pavilion Talks. Now, the other content, like the 32 research invited talks, those were pre-recorded. By the way, that was a lesson learned last year when we were doing a virtual conference, is that we forced everybody to do a recording of their presentation. And again, we had over 200 papers that were people had to record. We found that the quality of the presentations improved the fact that they recorded them. And they, I guess they listened to them back and changed them and improved them as they went along. So to answer your question, part of it will be recorded live at the event, like the keynotes and the short keynotes and the pavilion talks. And then the other content's actually pre-recorded that will be made available on the demand. So the stuff that's being recorded at the conference will be made available the very next day. It turns out that DAC runs, from Sunday the 5th through Thursday the 9th. The program actually starts on Monday the 6th. Virtual DAC actually starts on Tuesday the 7th and runs through Friday.
Got it. Yeah, the one-day delay for the production. I think that's a great strategy because you're right. Some of the pre-recorded stuff is definitely more polished and more succinct. But there's something magic about a live presentation, especially if it's kind of a discussion point kind of thing. It's, the live interaction is also compelling. So I think it's nice to have both. I think it's a good strategy. It should work well. Speaking of content, what are some of the highlights that you would you'd like to talk about with this year's program? What stands out for you as some of the cool, interesting, and maybe new things that are in the program?
Well, I want to highlight the keynote because I'm really excited on our keynote speakers this year. So we have four keynotes, one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Our first one is Jeff Dean, who's Senior Vice President of Google Research and Google Health, really a great guy. And his focus will be on machine learning. And then on Tuesday, Bill Daly, who's Chief Scientist from NVIDIA, we'll focus on GPU accelerated computing. And again, with ML, it's kind of like, you can't do anything today without discussing AI or machine learning. Wednesdays, this one's really exciting. So I was able to get Professor Mary Cummings, also known as Missy. She's a professor at Duke University, and she's going to focus on human unmanned vehicle interactions. But what's interesting about Missy, she was one of the first female Navy fighter pilots. And that in itself would be just an amazing talk, although that's not what she's going to talk about. I just think it's just amazing story she has in terms of, you think of all the obstacles she had to deal with being a female and a Navy fighter pilot. So,
yeah.
And then final keynote, that's on Thursday, and that's Professor Quibena Bohan from Stanford. And I'm excited about this one too. He's going to talk about aspects of neuromorphic computing. So you can see there's a diversity of topics, diversity of speakers. It's really exciting there. We also have, two other highlights I can think of is some industry analysts are going to talk this year. One will be Joe Sawicki, who's Executive Vice President at Siemens EDA. And he's going to focus on digitalization and what he claims is a return to outsized growth for the semiconductor industry. That should be really interesting. And then another industry analyst we have is Jay Vishauser from Griffin Securities. And he's going to give a Wall Street perspective on EDA, which is always interesting. I know something else that's interesting. So this will be the first time we've done this. We're going to do this thing that we call the DAC Gladiator Poster Awards. And the funny thing about this is you can think of this as like our own version of the Shark Tank, where we're going to invite these poster presenters, top poster presenters to come in front of these distinguished judges who then will select, that's kind of like a gladiator fight, who then will select the best poster. So that should be fun, something new.
That does sound like fun. It's sort of reminiscent of EDA Idol, which was a little bit of a different, but it was a judging contest too. This is obvious a little more serious. So yeah, I think that'll be pretty compelling. So this is great content. Let's see, Google, NVIDIA, Duke University, and Stanford. Heard of all of them. These are significant players. So yeah, this should be a big deal.
Then I did my job finding people that you might have heard of. So
yeah, I think so.
Institutions.
No kidding. Yeah. No, that's great. So can you tell us a little bit about, you mentioned this before, you touched on it in your prior comments, but can you tease out some trends that you're seeing based on the submitted content? Like obviously AI is huge. Everything is AI oriented. Are you seeing anything else that suggests maybe some changes in the way design is done or the way design is approached based on the submissions you're seeing? Are there some trends there that you could spot?
Well, so AI really slices across all topic areas, right? It's, you know, for example, if there's a topic area focused on verification validation, well, there's AI that crosses there, but there's also AI in the sense of architectures that's really been growing. In fact, it's our fastest growing area. I think the biggest surprise this year, and we weren't expecting this, we had 23 submissions that were focused on quantum computing. Never expected that, of which we selected six for a dedicated quantum computing session. So it'll be interesting to follow that and see what happens there. I think that's opportunities for future DAC, maybe keynote speakers in that area or something like that. Overall trends, I think what's interesting, we had 915 research papers that were submitted. And then we selected, I think it was about 210 or 212 of these for publication. But in the industry focus, you know, the engineering track type stuff I talked about, we had 199 submissions and we selected 70. So there's definitely not only interest in terms of the trends in terms of interest in research, but we're seeing in time, you can think of applied research in industry. So it's really, really exciting.
So Harry, let's talk about the registration and the different options. Has it changed this year? So what are the registration options?
Yeah, so we have four this year. We have what we call the full conference, and that gives you everything. Next, there's what we call the designer IP embedded track registration. And again, this is this engineering or industry focus, you know, for design verification engineers. Then the third option is what we call I Love DAC. And this is, by the way, this is free registration until October 29th. Then it goes up. It's only like $55 after that. But this will allow people access to the exhibit floor, all the keynotes, all the talks within the pavilion. It's a great opportunity there. And then the final one is new this year is the virtual conference registration. And by the way, the virtual conference registration, access to the virtual conference is also available if you do full conference registration.
Hey, you know, Harry, I was looking at the website and I'm always interested in who attends, right? So you have some statistics up there. Let me just read these off real quick. But it says there'll be about 600 designers, researchers, tool developers, executives, et cetera. EDA software, 31% of the attendees. IP core design, 18%. Embedded system, 12%. ML and AI, of course, 11%. Design services, 8%. Foundry, IC manufacturing, 5%. Consumer electronics, 4%. Design in the cloud is again this year at 3%. Cybersecurity, 3%. Automotive, 3%. IoT, 2%. I think that's a pretty broad representation. That's pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, and I think that's reflects what I talked about earlier, how DAC has moved beyond its roots in pure EDA to a lot of other related topic areas.
Yeah. Hey, you know, one final question, and, you know, I hate to bring it up, but we need to talk about it because everybody's been asking me about it, is, you know, what are the COVID safety protocols in place for this year?
Oh, in other words, the elephant in the room? Or
Yeah.
So, so DAC is required to follow the California Department of Health guidelines, and this will require that all attendees show proof of vaccination and wear a mask while they're in the Moscone Center. So that's the main requirements. Again, they're imposed on us by the California Department of Health guidelines. We have created a webpage out on the DAC website that actually discusses all the COVID-19 precautions that Moscone Center is taking. And this will be updated. For example, if there's any changes of loosening or tightening the safety protocols or even California's requirements. But the thing is, I'm optimistic about is that, you know, you might be aware last week or the week before that the US announced opening of international travel as long as visitors are vaccinated. That's encouraging because we're a little bit worried about that. Would we see attendees from Europe and stuff like that? And I've actually had a bunch of colleagues have reached out to me and then told me, yeah, they're planning to attend now that they've opened up travel to the US. The other thing, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, if I was looking at the data this morning, this particular wave appears to have peaked back September 1st. Things could change, but it seems we're on, you know, a lot healthier trajectory there. The other thing is California is currently has the lowest rate of infection. So that's, you know, again, I encourage people to go out to the website and look at what we're doing to ensure safety.
Yeah, you know, as a resident of California, I can tell you things are going quite well out here. And I do talk to the European community and the Asian community. And, you know, Asia is going to be a little tough because they have some issues about getting back into the country without quarantining for, you know, a week or two, you know, in a hotel room. And that's kind of invasive. But Europe, I think, is going to be here. But, you know, I'm sure there's going to be less people than normal as far as DAC. But, you know, there's a lot of hurdles. My guess, and I talked to some of the DAC committee people or the DAC exhibition people, and they said, yeah, you know, their first couple shows, which, you know, they were off for a year and a half, right? They weren't doing shows. And he said the first couple shows were the attendance was down, but the vendors felt like that there were more serious people. So, you know, if you have to jump through a couple hurdles to go to a conference, you're really serious and you're there with a mission. So I see a really big upside there, and the US crowd's going to be big, and that's a big market for us. And if we can get the European crowd too, that would be great. I think it's going to be a really good conference this year.
Yeah, by the way, you know, Moscone just recently had their first event, opened up a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot which event they had, but I heard from talking to various management companies that it went pretty well, so that's encouraging too.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I have something exciting, you know, the famous Steve Jobs, one more thing.
Okay.
I have something exciting that we haven't announced anywhere, and I thought it would be appropriate to announce it on your podcast, so you'll be the first. And that this year we have a surprise, a guest speaker, an EDA luminary, has agreed to speak with at DAC. And this will be Joe Costello giving a visionary talk. It's currently not in the program because this just came down about a week or two ago. We're real excited about that. We will update the program soon once we figure out what time he'll be speaking and everything. But I thought I'd make that announcement because he is a great speaker. So,
yeah, Joe, he's actually a neighbor of mine. I tell you, great guy. He's still involved in EDA. You know, he's behind the scenes a lot. But boy, I tell you, I listen to him for hours at a time. You know, he just got some great stories, and I think that'd be a good catch. You know, another thing that's going to happen there is, and this is also just now. Talking about, but Wally Rhines is going to be there signing his most recent book. So he did a book in conjunction with SemiWiki, actually, and he was going to do the signing last year, but the conference went virtual, so that didn't work out. But we still have the books, and he's going to be signing. I believe it's the Tuesday night cocktail party, so you can come by and chat with Wally Rhines. But his book, it's a great book. It's called Predicting Semiconductor Business Trends. And you can actually get the book on SemiWiki, a PDF version under the book section. But it's nice to see luminaries like Wally and Joe, you know, still in the game and still excited about this industry.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
All right, this is a good place to stop. Thank you, Harry, for your time. And thank you, everybody, for listening and participating in the Semiconductor Insider podcast series. And we'll speak with you again next week. That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.